All right, Monday, first one of autumn, last one of September. That means we check in with the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. The president and CEO is my great friend, Eric Spoonmore. Pigskin is everywhere, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Glass, I'm doing great. Yeah, lots of football this weekend to watch. Again, congratulations to those Northside Cougars on that number one ranking. It's a lot of fun to watch. My wife is a very proud North alumnus, and we were just talking about this, alumna, I should say. We were just talking about this over the weekend, and she said she had never seen anything like this. You know, it had always been about basketball at North, and then they are just tearing it up on the football field right now, so congratulations to them. South's got a great team. Hope they can get back together for a rematch later in the season. Such a great thing for the Bloomington community to have these strong football programs like this. And I heard you giving the report there on the IU football game. With that, did I sense a little concern?
Get
there?
The ball in the end zone. Maybe? That's how you win football games. Gee whiz.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to be fair. You were there. You watched what I watched. And you don't schedule Akron to test your overtime play-calling acumen. That's not what we're scheduling Akron for. They were picked fifth, and they're part of the MAC. They were the six teams in their thing. They were picked fifth. Go ahead and beat them. Go ahead and beat the tar out of them.
I can't say I disagree. I'm no offensive coordinator, nor do I claim to be one. But it sounded like there was a lot of people in the stands who had some difference of opinions of what we were seeing at that game. But a win is a win, like you said, and you take the ugly ones with the good ones, and we move on to next.
Yeah, you hope this is the attention getter because it's back to the Big Ten from here on out. So I don't think Tom Allen and his staff will have to do much convincing in the locker room like they tried to do last week that Maryland is a big deal. Well, Indiana, when was the last time they beat Maryland? I don't remember rattling off 10 in a row, 8 of 9 against the Terrapins. So that maybe they're more comfortable, Eric, as underdog. Nobody believes in us. You know, some teams are weird like that. But you got a brand-new quarterback. He's only made a handful of starts. Get the ball in the end zone. Let's get people confident. Let's catch the ball when it's thrown. Let's block a little bit better. That's how you win football games. So there's plenty to learn from, and doing so in a winning way. Feels like we lost, but Indiana did not lose. They won the ball game. Yep. That's the good news.
They did win. They figured out a way to pull it out. Just glad to see the Colts win. You know, but let's talk about, real quickly here, Kansas City Chiefs and Taylor Swift. This was the first football game that my 11-year-old daughter has ever watched, and the only reason was because Taylor Swift, I think, was on the TV screen every other play. So maybe we can get Taylor Swift here to Bloomington.
Just when you thought
maybe
NFL that'll
give us some luck,
just when you thought the NFL's popularity reach could not get any bigger, you throw in the world's most popular entertainer for 3 hours of broadcast, and she's just not there to watch either. If somebody had her as a guest in the owner's suite, you'd say, oh, okay, just passing through, have a pig in a blanket in a Mick Ultra, life is great. No, she's dating Travis Kelce, allegedly. They were spotted leaving the game together. That was Kelce's mom she was sitting next to in the box. So you take a couple billion here and a couple billion there, and now we're talking about some real entertainment dollars, aren't we?
A lot of entertainment going on at that game, and I would say Taylor Swift is very good for the Kansas City Chiefs.
And the National Football League and the ratings.
In general, yes.
And just like your daughter, I saw plenty on social media saying, I'm not really sure how these games work, but if Taylor is there, I'm a big fan of it. So she has a little bit of influence. Now, I'm setting up my tailgate on Saturday, and I'm there a little bit early. Not anything ridiculous, not like most of my friends that get there at 1 o'clock or the such. And I sit down, put my feet up, pop a cold one, and I'm just going to pop on Facebook to see if I'm missing anything. And I scroll, and I come to Eric Spoonmore is at Chandler Funeral Home. And I'm like, oh, geez, what happened? What's going on? And then I scroll into your pictures. You're for the Ellettsville or the Monroe County Fall Festival. Oh, yeah. You scared me to death there, buddy. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if you were dropping off, picking up, or what was happening there.
Well, anybody who knows the Fall Festival knows that Chandler Funeral Home and G.L. Chandler, the owner out there, is Fall Festival celebrity royalty. So the Chandler stage had all the music going on at the festival, did a lot of bluegrass out there. That was fun to be at. But that is one of the great traditions of Monroe County. We love to go out there every year, see all of our friends and family. And boy, was that a parade. I mean, it was 2 hours long, Glass.
Wow.
It was quite a parade, and there was thousands of people lining the streets. So, but it helped that it was a really nice day, too. So,
not a cloud in the sky.
But a really fun time. We always enjoy that event, and always good to hang out with my friends down there at Chandler Funeral Home.
Well, that's a fantastic tradition that goes on here in Monroe County. Our friends, I believe, in Steinsville have their Quarry Festival this weekend. We have Lotus Festival this weekend. It never stops, does it?
No, there's always something going on in Monroe County and in Bloomington in the fall. Well, any time of the year, but fall is particularly special.
And it's busy for you guys as well. We know that you had a big business after hours last week. Gets everybody together, just having that fellowship and everything else. I saw an interesting article out of Indianapolis that I wanted to run by you because I'm interested in how this regionally could possibly affect what's going on down here. And where did it go? Of course, I lose it because I lose everything that's right in front of me. Indianapolis, 500 new businesses were registered on Yelp. I know that's not the most official of officials across the Indianapolis metro area in July of 2023. And that was 29% up year over year. Now we know we're coming out of the pandemic and things like that. We know there's an interstate that's going to connect everything up there once this construction is done. Is that a great sign for the region? And does that affect us down here in Bloomington?
Well, I hope it does. You know, there's a ton of opportunity for economic development and new business expansion here in Bloomington and Monroe County. You've got to have business-friendly policies to make those kinds of things happen, and we've got some great opportunity for that with the construction of I-69 now having direct access from Indianapolis to Bloomington all the way down to Crane, and so I think there's some great potential, and we've already started to see some of the fruits of that with defense tech companies and tech companies in general, a lot of what's going on at the mill and startups over there in Indiana University and IU Ventures and everything that they're doing for the community. So it's a really exciting time. And I think, you know, we've got ourselves in a good position to be very successful in the years ahead to take advantage of all of this stuff. But, you know, we got to make sure that we're able to grow, we're able to grow responsibly, we're able to get the housing that people need to live in for workers. If businesses are going to expand here, we got to make sure that we have great public safety services that are fully staffed. And so there's a lot that goes into this that we all have to kind of be a part of if we want to succeed as a community.
Eric Spoonmore, President and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, and you are going to help with that expansion of bringing people and eyeballs and everything to Bloomington because you sit on the, what is this board called? You guys are going to meet here next week. This is great. The six-person crew. Is this the CIB? I'm getting my acronyms all confused here.
Yes, the Capital Improvement Board. So this was the official body that the Monroe County Commissioners created a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, actually, to oversee the expansion of the Monroe Convention Center. And that's been a discussion that we've been having for about, 25 years now in this community. Finally, we're able to kind of make some meaningful progress on that through the Capital Improvement Board. And all of the elected officials have made their appointments to it. So the first meeting of the CIB will be October 4th at 11 a.m. That's going to be at the Convention Center. And so we'll be participating in that. I'm looking forward to it. I think probably that first agenda is going to be, some introductory types of things. We'll have to elect some officers. We'll want to get an update on what the actual charge of the Capital Improvement Board is regarding the Convention Center expansion. We'll want to know what the authority is and the responsibility under the local and state statutes, and then probably get some kind of a progress report, I would imagine, of things that we'll have to do under the new state legislation that will enable us to keep that food and beverage tax revenue, which is going to pay for the convention center. So, you know, at some point we'll have to talk about creating a budget and getting an update on the food and beverage tax and all the funding that's there for that. So lots to and still there's an interlocal, I believe, that needs to be worked out.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yep. My understanding is that they're getting very close on that from sources that I've heard from in the city and the county. So that's all great news. I think the elected officials are really working well together on this. And so I'm excited. I think this is just a great step forward for the community and really looking forward to delivering this project and on the promises that local government made to the community. And I think it'll have huge dividends for the for Bloomington and Monroe County for generations to come. It'll be a great thing for us.
All right, so this organizational meeting gets together, and what goes on in an organizational meeting? Is this somebody going to be the president of this, the chairperson? Do we set the calendar? When are we going to elect the seventh person? How does that system work? Are these the things we're looking at on October 4th?
Exactly. Yeah, those are all the topics I think we'll want to have discussed.
That's all you need to get started, right? You don't need more than that.
Right.
Let's get all
that'll
that
give
done.
Us plenty. Yeah, that'll give us plenty. But we will have to elect officers, so we'll need a chair, you know, a vice chair and a parliamentarian type of role. You know, we'll need to talk about the calendar and when the meeting schedule is going to be for future meetings. You know, there's a lot of properties down there that are involved that the city owns and the county owns, and we'll have to look at all of that stuff and determine, you know, what's going to be the best mix of properties for the expansion footprint. So there's a lot of initial work that needs to get done, although, you know, there has been a lot of work already that has been accomplished on this. And so I think it'll be relatively easy for the CIB to kind of pick up the ball where, you know, the city and the county kind of left off back in 2019, 2020, and kind of take it from there. So it's an exciting opportunity for the community for sure.
Eric Spoonmore, President and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, checking in with us here on a final Monday of September, or if your glass is half full, the first Monday of autumn. It's completely up to you, whichever one you would like to support, if not both. October is a busy time as well. You have an employment fair coming up. That's coming up this Friday. Wait, the Success School, they're always up to no good, right? They're always helping us get better.
Yeah, so Success School is very busy this fall. We just had our tour of opportunity last week, and that was with the Convention Center and Lauren Wood Builders and Smithville and the Monroe County History Center, as well as WFIU, WTIU, all had Edgewood students kind of come and take a look at the different career pathways that we had featured. So that event was a lot of fun. I think we had upwards of 80 students involved with that. A lot of career fairs going on. We'll have our Upstarter Career Fair at the Mill later in October. And this is all done in partnership with our public schools, MCCSC and Edgewood Schools. And so, you know, it's a service that and partnership that we have with them that I think does a lot of good for the students and getting them exposure to different career pathways and getting them in front of employers who are looking to hire as well, too, which is important.
Yeah, keep them around here, right? We don't need to drain the brains moving forward.
Exactly.
Which is great. And these opportunities, you can find them all at the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce website, chamberbloomington.org. You can see the calendar. You can see ways to sign up and join the how many are you up to now? 800 and what?
We've got right around 850.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I don't have an exact figure for you. It kind of changes by the hour. But
that's a good problem because it's not subtracting,
right,
it's adding.
That's right.
We are adding to that number. It's growing and growing and growing. And part of our issues as a growing and growing community as well, it appears we have outgrown the Justice Building jail and everything that goes along with that. I know there were conversations last week. One of them was at my son's school at Summit Elementary. Another one was, I believe, either yesterday or Saturday at RCA Park. And to the surprise of absolutely no one presenting the information, nobody wants this in their backyard.
Yeah, and I'm glad that the elected leaders are going into the community, into the neighborhoods, and asking these questions and getting the feedback. It's important. My understanding is that, you know, it's not a done deal on where the facility is going to be located. There's been a lot of different sites that have been considered to varying degrees of success. So this is a community conversation that's evolving. Encourage folks to contact their elected officials if they have concerns about where the placement of the new jail is going to be. And we'll just kind of see where things shake out on this. It seems right now that they've kind of, in principle at least at this point, agreed that the Thompson property, which is over there just south of Catalan, west of Rogers Road, is the preferred site for a new jail facility that, has been required for the county. They really don't have a choice on whether or not they can build one. They have to based on some court rulings and so forth. So that'll get them back up to the constitutional level of care that they have to provide by constructing this new jail. But it is. It's always a challenge when you talk about these types of facilities and where you're going to put them, given the very scarce land resources that we have here in the community.
Well, that's the other part of this. It's not like there's 17 spots and you've just decided on that one. The land is already paid for, as I understand it, and there's just not that many big footprints that you can move it to and move it against. Isn't life about compromise, Eric?
It is, yeah. You know, I can remember from my days in county government, the county owns that land down there at the Thompson property, and it had been purchased, probably 20, 25 years ago for the express purpose of constructing a juvenile detention facility, so a similar type of secured facility. That never happened, but that was the original intent of that property. So I'm sure that led to the decision of county officials on landing on that property.
You ran into the lieutenant governor a couple of weeks ago. What'd you learn?
Well, it was nice. We were out at Cook Medical's facility. She was doing a tour of Monroe County and kind of wanted to come and hear from Cook about a partnership that they have with Stone Belt and the internship programs that they do there with Stone Belt residents to get them in places of employment and getting them good jobs. So that was really nice. Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch came down and took a tour of the facility. We were able to join her there, and she was listening about ways that, we can grow these types of partnerships so that people have good opportunities for work, meaningful opportunities for work, and we can get more people involved in the workforce. So, Cook has done a great job with that. Stone Belt's been a fantastic partner, and, it takes government leaders to be able to see the value in that and really get it deployed all across the state of Indiana, because I think that can do a lot for, our workforce and for our employers as well, too.
And I would be remiss not to mention you have a brand new community guide and business directory magazine. Do you guys used to print something out? This is different from that. Tell me what's new.
Well, we did. Years ago, you may remember that there was always a contest that the chamber would do each year to artists, and they would kind of put it out there and say, who would like to be the winning artist to be on the cover of the chamber directory? So it was really kind of this prestigious thing for local artists to submit their entries for, and then the chamber would kind of decide who would be the cover artwork for the chamber directory. And somewhere along the way, that all kind of got lost. We get lots of requests from our members about a printed directory. It would be nice to have a nice hard copy printed directory of all 850 of our members categorized by the different sectors and functions and things that and areas that they work in. And so I thought that would be a great benefit to bring back to the Chamber of Commerce and to the community, frankly. And so we've partnered with a publisher who's going to help us get that directory back in place that we'll mail out at the beginning of the year to all of our members. We'll also distribute it widely around the community. We've got thousands of these that will be printed, and we'll leave them in hotels and restaurants and you name it, anywhere where people are kind of gathering. We'll have an opportunity to pick one up and view all of those chamber businesses there for the different offerings that they have. So that's we're excited about that. We're reaching out to our membership to see if they'd be interested in any advertising in that that helps us pay for it. So if anyone's interested in that, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. It's going to be a really, really cool publication that we'll put out there.
You can go online and find it as well at the Chamber's website, chamberbloomington.org. All your contact information and information in general is on there. Next time I talk to you, I hope we're talking about at least a win at Maryland and maybe some offense, and hopefully North and South stay in the top three there in the state polls.
Hey, that would be great. We'll see. We'll see what happens, but I'm going to keep my fingers crossed.
Well, that's all we can do, and we'll get caught up with you in the middle of October to see what's going on, talk about fun things like Halloween and all the other great events happening. I know you're always busy. Chamberbloomington.org if you need more information. Thanks, Eric. I always appreciate it.
Thanks, Glass. Look forward to talking to you next time.